Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
So now we may have to take it a step further, or we may not. Maybe we're going to make a deal. You're going to be finding out over the next probably 10 days.
The U.S. is engaged in a massive military buildup around Iran as President Trump continues to threaten to launch new attacks. We'll speak with Jeremy Scahill of Drop Site News. His latest piece, This Is Not a Dress Rehearsal. Plus, we look at the growing fallout from the Epstein files following the arrest of King Charles' brother, the former Prince Andrew.
I think we're very hopeful that this is the start of the domino effect. This is where the house of cards starts falling. And, you know, kudos to the UK for taking the first step, for saying, you know what, we are going to arrest somebody who is held to one of the highest esteems out there, somebody who was a former prince.
That's the brother of the late Virginia Giuffre, who accused the prince of sexual assault. We'll go to London and speak to Carol Cadwalader. And then a judge has blocked the deportation of Mohsen Mahdawi, the Palestinian graduate student at Columbia University, targeted by the Trump administration for his activism around Gaza and Palestinian human rights. He'll join us in studio for all that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump's considering a plan to attack Iran in what officials are calling a limited military strike aimed at forcing Tehran to agree to a new nuclear deal with an opening assault possibly coming within days. That's according to The Wall Street Journal, which reports the initial strikes would target a few military or government sites with an option to ramp up attacks into a campaign aimed at toppling Iran's government. On Thursday, Trump said his goal is to prevent Iran from developing nuclear bombs.
They can't have a nuclear weapon. It's very simple. You can't have peace in the Middle East if they have a nuclear weapon.
Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution, only Congress can declare war, and lawmakers have not approved any declaration of war against Iran. Congress members Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie have promised to force a House vote on a bipartisan war powers resolution next week after Congress returns from recess. President Trump's threats to attack Iran came as he hosted heads of state and other officials from nearly 50 countries for the inaugural meeting of the so-called Board of Peace, Trump's new initiative to create an alternative to the United Nations. Trump vowed to provide $10 billion in U.S. funds to the board, even though Congress has not approved any such spending, and has named himself the group's chairman for life. Among Trump's board key proposals is to turn Gaza into an upscale seaside resort with gleaming skyscrapers and entirely new cities. Later in the broadcast, we'll speak with Jeremy Scahill of Drop Site News about Iran, Gaza, and the so-called Board of Peace. In the occupied West Bank, a Palestinian-American teenager has died of his injuries after he was shot by an Israeli settler Wednesday in a village near Ramallah. According to relatives, 19-year-old Nasrallah Mohammed Jamal Abu Siam was fired on as he tried to stop Israeli settlers from raiding his village to steal sheep. At least 11 U.S. citizens have been killed by Israeli soldiers and settlers since 2022. Meanwhile, the Committee to Protect Journalists reports dozens of Palestinian media workers held in Israeli prisons since October 2023 have been beaten, starved, and subjected to rape and other sexual violence. The committee reviewed testimony and evidence from 59 Palestinian journalists, finding strikingly consistent reports of physical assaults, forced stress positions, sensory deprivation, sexual violence, and medical neglect. The journalists lost an average of 52 pounds in Israeli prisons. Most of them were held under Israel's so-called administrative detention policy, never charged with any crime. In Sudan, a group of UN experts has determined evidence of atrocities carried out by the paramilitary rapid support forces during the siege of the city of Al-Fashir show the, quote, hallmarks of genocide, unquote. The fact-finding mission said it collected evidence of deliberate starvation and denial of humanitarian assistance, as well as mass killings, rape, torture, and forced disappearances since the RSF captured the key city in Sudan's Darfur region last year. The report outlines three acts of genocide, including the killing of members of a protected ethnic group. The UN also expressed alarm following reports that over 50 civilians were killed, including children, in a series of strikes this week carried out by the RSF and Sudanese army in four states across Sudan. Police officers in England have raided Royal Lodge in Windsor to search the former home of the former Prince Andrew. He's the disgraced former prince and brother of King Charles, who was previously stripped of his royal title over his close ties to the late serial sex traffickers Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Andrew was in police custody for 11 hours after his arrest Thursday morning. Police are investigating whether he committed misconduct in public office by sharing confidential government documents with Epstein while serving as UK trade envoy, a breach of the Official Secrets Act. Andrew's arrest was applauded by survivors of Epstein and their loved ones. He was arrested on his 66th birthday. This is Sky Roberts, the brother of Virginia Giuffre, who died in May of an apparent suicide 3 years after she settled a lawsuit in which she accused Andrew of sexually abusing her as a teenager at Epstein's properties.
I think we're very hopeful that this is the start of the domino effect. This is where the house of cards starts falling. And, you know, kudos to the UK for taking the first step, for saying, you know what, we are going to arrest somebody who is held to one of the highest esteems out there, somebody who was a former prince.
On Thursday, Microsoft founder Bill Gates canceled his planned keynote address at an AI summit in India, just hours before he was scheduled to speak, amidst growing scrutiny over his ties to Epstein. And as the news broke of the former Prince Andrew being arrested in London. In France, investigators have reopened an investigation into several public figures tied to Epstein, including his close accomplice, Jean-Luc Brunel, a model scout and alleged sex trafficker. Brunel died in a French jail cell in 2022 while awaiting trial on charges he raped children and trafficked women and girls to Jeffrey Epstein. French officials ruled his death a suicide. The Wall Street Journal reports Brunel was secretly negotiating in 2016 with lawyers representing Epstein's victims and was prepared to tell prosecutors what he knew about Epstein's sex trafficking ring. In an email to attorney Kathy Rumler that year, Epstein said he discovered Brunel was planning to go to the U.S. Attorney's office the following week, and one of Brunel's friends had, quote, asked for $3 million so that Jean-Luc would not go in, unquote. It's not clear whether Brunel ever received that payment, but Brunel did not cooperate with prosecutors, and Epstein remained free for another 3 years. In Washington, D.C., Democratic lawmakers are calling for President Donald Trump to be held accountable for his close ties to Epstein, whom Trump once called a terrific guy and a lot of fun to be with, unquote. On Thursday, workers unfurled a giant banner of Trump's face on the facade of the Justice Department headquarters. California Congressmember Ted Lieu linked the banner to the DOJ's refusal to release all files related to the Epstein investigation as required by law. Congressmember Lieu wrote, quote, Want more evidence that the Justice Department is covering up the Epstein files to protect Epstein's best friend, Donald Trump? Look at this photo, he said. We'll have the latest on Epstein files and the fallout in London and around the world after headlines. A federal judge has dismantled much of Trump's policy to indefinitely detain immigrants. The ruling by California U.S. District Judge Sunshine Sykes came as part of a class action lawsuit and throws out an earlier decision by the Board of Immigration Appeals that had backed Trump's practice of denying bonds and indefinitely jailing thousands of immigrants with no criminal records. Sykes denounced the Trump administration as shameless for refusing to grant bond hearings to immigrants despite her prior court order to do so. In related news, the publication Law Dork reports the Department of Homeland Security has issued a memo that could lead to the detention of thousands of refugees who were resettled in the United States. The memo reportedly states refugees must return or be returned to federal immigration custody as part of the vetting process to obtain a green card. Refugees are already strictly vetted, often for years, before they're even admitted to the U.S. Refugee status allows for a pathway to citizenship, with refugees required to apply for a green card 1 year after their arrival. Press freedom groups are raising alarm over the arrest of four journalists in Cameroon who attempted to investigate Trump's secretive scheme to deport third country immigrants to the African nation. The New York Times reports police forces detained the group of journalists at a state-run compound in the capital, Yaoundé, along with an attorney representing several immigrants detained there, none of whom are from Cameroon and who were deported from the United States. Many of the immigrants were sent to Cameroon in violation of court orders protecting them from deportation to their home countries over fear of prosecution. Cameroonian police reportedly confiscated the journalists' phones, cameras, and laptops, claiming the journalists had obtained sensitive government information. All five people have been released, among them the attorney Joseph Awafru, and a freelance journalist who's worked for the BBC, Randy Josa. The three other journalists were based in Cameroon and working on assignment for the Associated Press. Federal prisons will no longer provide gender-affirming care to incarcerated trans people. That's according to the Marshall Project, which reported the Bureau of Prisons released its new policy Thursday. Under the new rule, trans people will no longer have access to gender-affirming surgery, hormone care, clothing, or toiletry items that align with their gender identity. Hormone therapy will reportedly be replaced with prescription medications for depression and other mental health conditions, many of which are caused by hormone withdrawal, including suicidal ideation. Advocates have vowed to fight Trump's latest attack on the trans community, as they say this policy threatens the life of hundreds of people who were receiving gender-affirming care in federal prisons. And Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders is rallying support for a proposed wealth tax in California. The ballot measure would see California residents worth $1 billion or more pay a one-time tax of 5% to offset the cost of looming federal cuts to health care while funding public education and food assistance. It would affect roughly 200 billionaires worth more than $2 trillion. On Wednesday, Senator Sanders rallied wealth tax supporters in Los Angeles, arguing the billionaire class no longer sees itself as part of U.S. society.
Like the oligarchs of the 18th and 19th centuries, you know, the kings and the queens and the czars, these guys literally believe that they have the divine right to rule and are no longer subject to democratic governments. Starting right here in California. These billionaires are going to learn that we are still living in a democratic society where the people have some power.
Billionaires, including Palantir founder Peter Thiel, have poured millions of dollars into campaigns aimed at defeating the wealth tax. Last year, Palantir reportedly earned $1.5 billion and paid zero federal income tax. California Governor Gavin Newsom, a likely contender for the Democratic Party's 2028 presidential nomination, opposes the idea, arguing it's already led wealthy residents to move from California. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in London, following the arrest of former Prince Andrew on Thursday. He was held in police custody for 11 hours before being released in the latest fallout from the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. Andrew is the brother of King Charles and the son of the late Queen Elizabeth. The former prince is the first senior member of the royal family to be arrested in almost 400 years. Police are investigating whether he committed misconduct in public office by sharing confidential government documents with Jeffrey Epstein while serving as UK trade envoy, a breach of the Official Secrets Act. King Charles has said he will give his, quote, full and wholehearted support to the investigation, saying, quote, the law must take its course. Andrew's ties to Epstein have been known for years. Virginia Roberts Giuffre, who died last year in an apparent suicide, said she was forced to have sex with the prince three times, beginning when she was 17. On Thursday, Virginia's brother, Sky Roberts, and his wife, Amanda, responded to the arrest of the former prince.
Moving forward, we don't know, but we're hopeful. I think we're very hopeful that this is the start of the domino effect. This is where the house of cards starts falling. And, you know, kudos to the UK for taking the first step, for saying, you know what, we are going to arrest somebody who is held to one of the highest esteems out there, somebody who was a former prince. I mean, this hasn't been done before. And so to know what we should expect, it's really naive to say that we do, but we won't stop. I mean, Virginia said it so clearly in her statements, and I'll say it again here today, like, we won't stop until justice is served.
We are trailing too far behind in justice, especially when we are sitting on the mountains of information that we have. Whether this administration likes it or not, it is sitting at your doorstep. You do not have a choice now. Okay, the world is looking at us to do the right thing here. And if they can't do the right thing, they should resign.
That was Amanda Roberts and her husband, Sky Roberts, the brother of Virginia Roberts Giuffre. We go now to London, where we're joined by Carol Cadwalader, award-winning investigative journalist whose Substack is How to Survive the Broligarchy. She gained international recognition for her expose on the Facebook Cambridge Analytica data scandal in 2018. Carol's also the co-founder of an independent news outlet called The Nerve, launched with five former Guardian journalists. Carol, welcome back to Democracy Now! First, this news of the last 24 hours that the former Prince Andrew, the brother of the king, was arrested on his 66th birthday. The picture of him as he was released after 11 hours now under investigation, with his homes being raided, is startling. It's stunning, to say the least, a deer caught in headlights. Explain the significance of this moment for British society when a senior royal has not been arrested in what, over 400 years.
Hi, Amy. Thanks so much for having me back. Yeah, it feels like a really significant moment in Britain, and almost a rupture, because the royals they've been sacrosanct in Britain. You know, they are treated with such reverence and respect by the British media. And I think, in all honesty, we didn't see this coming, because it just hasn't happened before, I think. So it was definitely a sort of incredible moment in Britain. And that image that you refer to, that is splashed across every single newspaper in Britain this morning, across the tabloids. And I think, you know, I think it's sort of indelible now, that photo is, it's going to be a sort of a moment in time, I think. But I think the thing that I would say is that, This isn't just an incredible moment in Britain. It's an even more incredible moment in America because, you know, we are the old country. We are the country with a monarchy, with absolute rule that you had to have a revolution to get away from. And yet here we are arresting a former and only very recently former prince. And in America, you know, what are we seeing? We're seeing this sort of culture of complete impunity where it appears the law is not equal, where there are people who are above it. So I think it's less a moment of reckoning for Britain because we are doing the right thing. I mean, it's like I think we're proud of it. It shows that we are equal before the law. I think in America, it's hugely embarrassing, it's significant, and it should be a wake-up call.
Now, interestingly, the former prince, Andrew, was not arrested over assaulting this teenager, assaulting Virginia Giuffre. In her book, Nobody's Girl, and When She Was Alive, she talked about how he knew she was underage because someone said to her, do you know how old she is? What's your guess? And he said 17. But he's been arrested for passing on information that could financially benefit Jeffrey Epstein. The same is the case, right, with Peter Mandelson, who is the former UK ambassador to Washington, D.C., very close to the prime minister, Starmer, leading to questions in British society, the possibility of the toppling of Starmer for not having Mandelson investigated properly. But he, too, was a trade envoy for Britain. And he, too, now that these emails have come out, is being investigated for passing on financial information, something that really increased Epstein's power over so many as he networked, both bringing in underage girls and women to be assaulted in the United States or in the U.S. Virgin Islands, but also just creating this network of people that gained financially from knowing Epstein.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Amy. The you know, you're absolutely completely right there. And I think, I mean, it's the tragedy of it is the thing I think to really hang on to in this moment. As you say, the police did not arrest and question Prince Andrew for the alleged crimes which Virginia Giuffre, you know, told in that book. It's heartrending, really, because what if they had? What if she had been believed? What if there had been accountability while she was still alive? So, you know, I think the debt that we owe to Virginia Giuffre, her courage, her strength in telling this story, it is why we are here now. And it's just a terrible, terrible indictment that it wasn't because a woman's word was sufficient for this investigation to take place. It was, you know, what on the surface of it are lesser, less significant crimes that we're now having sort of the wheels of justice turning.
Interestingly, as you're talking, Carol, we're showing that famous photograph of Andrew, the man formerly known as Prince, with his arm around Virginia Giuffre, standing next to Ghislaine Maxwell. I think it was in Ghislaine Maxwell's apartment in London when she was first assaulted by the former prince. And you see a flash in the window reflected beyond them because Epstein is taking this picture on Virginia's own camera. She asked for it incredibly prophetically, and this is what has taken him down. You also have, here in the United States, Les Wexner, who is the former head of Victoria's Secret, Limited, Brands, being questioned at his Ohio mansion by the House Oversight Committee. Interestingly, no Republican went for that questioning, even though when they put out the video yesterday, they had it's I think there was a picture emblazoned across the video, GOP oversight. I want to go to the clip. You can hear Wexner's lawyer as he's being questioned by the Congress members saying, I'll effing kill you if you answer another question in more than five words.
It was just regularly done.
Answer the question.
Okay.
A discreet question on a different topic.
I mean, amazing that we can hear this over the mic, the lawyer warning him. But this goes to a bigger point, and it goes to the word part of the title of your Substack, the Broligarchy. On the one hand, you have Andrew being arrested, and in this country, the man that bankrolled him, possibly to the tune of billions of dollars, how he had his mansion in New York, how he had his island in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and his mansions now being investigated, the Zorro Ranch in New Mexico, and using Ohio, the mansion of Les Wexner. He couldn't possibly, maybe, have had even this huge sex trafficking network that has led now to a sex trafficking investigation in as far as Latvia and the former prime minister of Norway being investigated, two investigations in France being opened. But this Les Wexner hearing this and having the U.S. attorney general saying there are no investigations, the case is closed, even though they haven't released another 3 million pages, and President Trump saying, see, I've been exonerated.
I mean, I think the thing, I think, Amy, you're so completely right. And I think that if you don't look at this story about Epstein and see that it's some part of something much, much bigger, if you don't connect it to the political moment that America is in, and that the absence of inquiry and leadership and actual, you know, accountability in any sense around this story. You know, I wrote a piece and I said, it's the dog that doesn't bark. And if it doesn't bark now, it is not going to bark when the midterm elections come. And what, you know, many people, I think, see is going to be a sort of authoritarian assault on them. And I think you don't want to look back and look back at this moment and see that there is this moment in which Congress didn't act, in which the press didn't summon the necessary sort of fire and fury, and realize that actually it's a bellwether, it's a sign, it's this culture of impunity. And so I think that's my sort of message from here in Britain, in this old class-ridden society that, as I say, you had to have a revolution to get away from. We are actually able in this moment to show that there is accountability, to show that people are equal before the law. And you are not. You no longer can. Like, America is no longer the land of the free. You know, your constitution is breaking down in real time. And I think Epstein is such a symbol of this. And I think in exactly the same way that these women were not believed, that it took these files to come out for suddenly people to go, oh, actually, you know, it turns out that it was not only true, that it went to a far, 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 you know, bigger scandal and story than we realized. I think it feels like a parallel moment in that you're not actually believing what they're telling you now, what this story is telling you now. You're still in complete denial over it. And I think, you know, I'm speaking here from, as I say, from this vantage point in London, and saying this should be the moment when you realize that, you know, it's this thing, the call is coming from inside the house, that actually you really need to step up now. And if you cannot realize that this huge, vast money laundering, international sex trafficking operation that involves every single institution in your country, it involves banks, you know, it involves people who are part of the government, it involves people who are part of the press. It's everywhere. And I know it must feel kind of overwhelming because it's so pervasive, but I think I think really the thing which is missing, I suppose, is this sort of leadership in being able to signal this and call it out and to demand that the steps are taken now.
Finally, we just have 30 seconds, but you just republished the U.S. coup 1 year on. Explain why.
Because, well, a year ago, I published this article and in which I put what I thought should have been the headline on